Revelation chapter 2. Oh, you need to plan that for like the 29th or whenever that is. When's our singing? 28th. 29th, 28th. The fifth Sunday. It would be the 29th, seeing how the 31st is on a Tuesday. That's deep, isn't it, Avery? All right, Revelation, book of Revelation, chapter, I can't even talk. Chapter 2, and we're going to talk about the church of Pergamos. The church of Smyrna, called the crown of Ionia. Smyrna was another seaport, second only to Ephesus in wealth and activity. The name Smyrna comes from the word myrrh. It is an embalming perfume. William Ramsey called Smyrna the city of life because it had survived destruction and was rebuilt twice. It was a beautiful city with fine avenues, a faithful ally of Rome. It had erected there a temple dedicated to emperor worship, which we kind of talked about this morning, but I wanted to give you that little rundown on Smyrna, and I'd forgotten my info on Smyrna, but now in Revelation chapter 2, verse 12 is where we're going to go. Pergamos, it was an ancient city. It's called yogurt and cheese, I think, not together, but all right, I'll start over. An ancient city reaching back beyond 500 B.C., very old city. Pergamos was the political capital of Asia. It was a cultural center, possessing a library of 200,000 volumes and noted for the invention of a parchment-type paper. It was a religious center with magnificent temples to Zeus and Dionysius, Athena, Asclepius, all along with the required emperor worship and a medical center. So we see that place was the kind of the happening area. Hyssop, Hyslop, however you say that, believes Pergamos was the pagan connection between ancient Babylon and Rome. Even after Smyrna replaced it as the provincial capital, Pergamos continued on as a center of religion. All right, let's look at what the letter was to Pergamos tonight. Chapter 2 of Revelation, verse 12 through 17, it says, "And the angel of the church in Pergamos write, these things saith he which hath the sharp sword with two edges. I know thy works, and where thou dwellest, even where Satan's seat is. And thou holdest fast my name, and hast not denied my faith, even in those days wherein Antipas was my faithful martyr, who was slain among you where Satan dwelleth. But I have a few things against thee, because thou hast there them that hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak." If you ever wondered, by the way, we preached the other day in Numbers 22 through like 30, 31. Balaam was brought to curse Balak, to curse Israel from Balak. And I told you, I said, he gave Balak, however you say it, some special instructions on how to corrupt Israel. This will back it up. Balaam, who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed unto idols, and to commit fornication. So hast thou also them that hold the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which thing I hate. Repent, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will fight against thee with the sword of my mouth. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna, and will give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name written, which no man knoweth, saving he that receive it. All right. The message to the church, Christ, of course, told the Apostle John to say this. The verse tells us two things about our Lord Jesus. For one, the Word of God is discerning. Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. No, it is not. Hebrews chapter 4. Verse 12. We'll get there eventually. Hebrews chapter 12, chapter 4, verse 12. Hebrews 4, 12. Hebrews 4, 12. We'll get it. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. So the Word of God is discerning. Ephesians, let me read something in Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 17. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. That is the sword of the Spirit. Now, there's two things about the Lord Jesus in this. He is the Word of God that is discerning. But not only that, the Word of God judging. Revelation 2:16. He told us there. He says, he told the church there. He says, repent or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will fight against them with the sword of my mouth. Also, chapter 19 of Revelation, we're going to jump. We're not going to stay there, but 19 and verse 15. It says, and out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. So there's two things in that first opening of the letter to Pergamos that really should have got their attention. It should get our attention as a church. It should get our attention, honestly, as an individual. The Lord is the Word of God discerning. He knows what the intents of our hearts are. So he knows exactly when you make a promise to the Lord, he knows. He knows the intents. When you give to the offering, he knows the intents of your heart. He already got that down. So listen, if it's not within your heart to give a 20, don't give a 20. Because God already knows. You're only fooling the people sitting here. We're not fooling God. We need to remember that. They were not fooling God with a lot of things, but he did give them a commendation, more or less. The Lord commends the church with two things. He said, being a daring testimony before the seat of a satanic cultism, thou holdest fast to my name. Pergamos was a center of pagan religion. There was a lot there. The god of medicine, Asclepius, however you say that, was represented as a serpent. That was one of the gods that they worshipped. Here we observe that Satan's seed is not in hell, by the way. Where did he say Satan's seed is? It was at Pergamos. We got the wrong idea about the devil. We got the idea, you could ask most little kids, and you could ask me when I was a little kid, where's the devil live? Oh, he lives in hell. No, he don't. He don't want to go there. He don't rule in hell. He don't want to be there. Hell was put out there for the devil and his angels. That's the reason hell was created. He doesn't live there. And he doesn't go down there and torture people with a whip or with a pitchfork. Trust me, he don't want to be there. Although he will end up there. But that's a misconception. And it's not taught in the Word of God. There's nowhere in the Word of God that you will find that the devil rules in hell. Because he doesn't. We also observe Satan is behind false religions. Let's go 2 Corinthians. I had something. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. I'd say my granddaughter ain't just thrilled over something. She'll get over it. She's got a long life of disappointments. I'd love to tell children that, listen, it don't get any better, but I'll let them figure it out on their own. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3 through 15. So 2 Corinthians 11, verse 3, he says, but I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through the subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he that cometh preaches another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if ye receive another spirit, which ye have not received, or another gospel, which ye have not accepted, ye might well bear with him. For I suppose I was not a whit behind the very chiefest apostles. But though I be rude in speech, yet not in knowledge, but we have been thoroughly made manifest among you in all things. Have I committed an offense in abasing myself that ye might be exalted, because I have preached to you the gospel of God freely? I robbed other churches, taking wages of them to do you service. When I was present with you and wanted, I was chargeable to no man, for that which was lacking to me, the brethren which came from Macedonia supplied, and in all things I have kept myself from being burdensome unto you, and so will I keep myself. As the truth of Christ is in me, no man shall stop me of this boasting in the regions of Achaia. Wherefore, because I love you not, God knoweth. But what I do, that I will do, and that I may cut off occasion from whence desire occasion, that wherein they glory, they may be found even as we. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. So think about it. You get that knock at the door. They want to offer you another gospel. You get that knock at the door. They want to give you the watchtower. You got Jesus Christ lives in the Philippines now, by the way. I saw his house. It was on TV. You've got... these people are false teachers, and they lead people astray. Paul put it plain in Galatians. He said, if anybody brings you another gospel, it ain't. He said, I don't care if an angel shows up with wings flopping. Now, I'm paraphrasing, but I'm going to give you a good illustration here. Angel comes flopping in here with his wings, getting after it, a little halo, and he says, let me bring you another gospel. We need to boot him out the door because he's lying to you. He's a false teacher. If it varies from anything you've read in this Bible, it is wrong. And if it tells you right up front, be honest, I'm plain and blunt anyway. I don't know how many people will listen to this, but by the way, sermon audio, amen for sermon audio. We've got 32 states that are listening to messages and right at 40 countries that downloaded messages this past month, September. That's pretty impressive. I'm like, wow, so it goes out. So I'm just going to be up front with you. If it ain't in the Bible, then turn it away. If they add to it, if they tell you, well, you got to do this, that, or that, or jump a stick to get saved, they're lying to you. There's only one way to get saved, and that's through the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, I am the truth, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. So they had false teachers. They were a real problem there. And listen, we've got false teachers now. They're real problems out there. They lead people astray on a constant basis, and they confuse people. I've talked to people that ain't got a clue what's going on. And it's because they've been led falsely. I was in a jail one time. I was there preaching. And I was preaching, the guy says, well, I know I'm saved. I said, well, I always like to know how people know they're saved. And he said, well, he said, the preacher come in here Sunday morning, he said, and laid his hand on me and told me I was saved. I'm like, really? Interesting. It was like, seriously? But it's true. That's what they do. They lead them astray. They take them falsely and teach these things. And if we're not careful, listen, we can get wrapped up into the same stuff. But they had false teachers. 1 Timothy chapter 4. Let's go there. First Timothy chapter 4. Verse 1 through 3. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter days, in the latter times, some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry, and commanding to abstain from meats. Let me tell you something. If you are a vegetarian or you are a vegan, you are meddling, unless it's a medical reason, unless a doctor has told you, you're meddling with false teachings and doctrines. That stuff is dangerous. It's not safe. It's not healthy. Listen, our bodies are not designed to eat vegetables and fruits and no meat. That will not work. It will cause you issues. Oh, what about Adam and Eve? That's right. Sin entered into the world and had to eat lamb. Read it. It's there. That all changed. There's not enough protein in that stuff for you. You got to have meat. But now I realize there are some people that have some medical issues. Let me tell you something. They're told to take liver tablets because they need iron. They're pushed real hard to eat protein because you need protein. Listen, your body is designed that way. It needs protein. But anyway, I better get back to this. So abstaining from meats, which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, including Brother Louis' rabbits, and nothing to be refused. There are some things I refuse. But anyway, I don't eat sushi. If it be received with thanksgiving, it's hard to be thankful for sushi. And snails. I don't eat snails either. There's something wrong with that stuff. But the Lord said it's clean. It's good for us. And it is. If you do it with the right heart. But anyway, so we have false teachers in this world. That's what they had there. They had some false teachers. Now his disapproval. Well, he also said in his commending of them, he said having a doctrinal, they were steadfast. He was impressed with the fact that they were steadfast and in the face of satanic persecution. In other words, he said, and has not denied my faith. You got to hand it to them. They were in the middle of a lot of pagan religion. They were the minority. Who's that remind you of? Christians today are becoming a minority. At one time, we were a majority, but not anymore. Especially in the United States, we are a minority here, but we've still got to stand fast for the Lord Jesus. That's what they were doing. They were doing that. They were standing in amongst a bunch of pagan people, pagan worshipers, and they were standing fast. And hey, the Lord was saying, amen, you're doing good. I like that. But now we've got to go back. Revelation chapter 2 and voice 14. But I have a few things against thee. Because thou hast there them that hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed unto idols and to commit fornication. In other words, they were tolerating these people that were teaching the doctrine of Balaam. They were tolerating these things. The church at Pergamos was troubled because they compromised. There's two areas that they compromised. One, they were tolerating of the doctrine of Balaam. The story of Balaam, which is found, I told you, Numbers 22 through 25. That's where it was discussing that. Balak wanted Balaam to come in and curse the Israelites. He tried. I mean, he was offered a lot, too. And he tried. God wouldn't let him. God calls a donkey to talk to him. You ever seen a talking donkey, Abram? I mean, Avery. The donkey talked to him. He was whipping on the donkey and she fell down because this angel had a sword and Balaam couldn't see it. But the donkey could. And she smushed his leg up into a wall and then she fell down and he got off of her. Wop, wop, wop. And she said, why are you beating me? I'm saving your life. She really did. It's in the Bible. It's in Numbers chapter 22 through 25. The donkey talked, and it was a she, by the way. A she donkey. Talked to him, and She didn't even ask for an apology. But anyway, it didn't ask for forgiveness or anything. But you see, Balaam was supposed to go and curse Israel. Not, we ain't going to do that. But Balaam whispered to Balak, he said, this is how you do it. Use your women. Use your food. Use your idol worship stuff. That'll get them. And it did. In other words, they, honestly, what they did is they gave in to it. They fell for what he was doing. They compromised. They said, so how would I put that with us today? If we compromise, let me throw one out here. Same-sex marriage. If we compromised, if we said, we'll marry them, we'll bring them on in. That would be compromise. Can we still teach the gospel and do that? Sure we can. That's what they were doing. We can do that and still preach the gospel. You could compromise on, we'll use it this way. Women pastors, ordaining women preachers and ordaining women to be deacons. We could compromise on that and still preach the gospel. But Jesus ain't going to be happy with that. He's going to come and he's going to say, but I got something problem with you. Oh, you guys are doing this pretty good. You guys are doing this good. You're standing up for the faith. But you're compromising. That's what they were doing. They were compromising, and the Lord wasn't seeing the what would I say? He wasn't seeing the humor in that. They had a toleration of the doctrine of the Nicolaitans. Now, what was the deeds that they were doing? Really, they don't know a lot about them, as we discussed the other day. But just in an idea, go to Ephesians chapter 5. It gives us sort of an idea of what it could have been. They could have been talking about this because they were over there in what's that place they were at? Ephesus. They were over there, and this could have been what he was talking about. And if it is, well, it makes sense. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 3 through 7. Well, might help if I had to. It says, but fornication and all uncleanness and covetousness, let it not be once named among you and becometh saints, as becometh saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving thanks. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. In other words, don't partake with them in what's going on. Now, let me read you one more over here in the book of 3 John. 3 John, verse 9, 10, and 11, he says, I wrote unto you. By the way, John, the one that wrote the book of John, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, and Revelation, he was also the pastor eventually at Ephesus. That he could have very well wrote this letter to them. He says, I wrote unto the church, but Diotrephes, who loveth to have the preeminence among them, receiveth us not. Wherefore, if I come, I will remember his deeds, which he doeth, prating against us with malicious words, and not content therewith. Neither doth he himself receive the brethren, and forbiddeth them that would, and casteth them out of the church. Beloved, follow not that which is evil, but that which is good. He that doeth good is of God, but he that doeth evil hath not seen God. In other words, he don't know God. This could have been who they were talking about. These people spreading false doctrine and adding this stuff in. You see, in the sect of the Nicolaitans, they were, what's the fancy word here? They were a group advocating, I'm going to see if I say it right, antinomia lifestyles. And I'm like, really? That's terrible. What is it? You know, one of them words, you're like, what is that? So I looked it up and it says a person, and this is quite interesting, a person who maintains that Christians are freed from the moral laws by virtue of grace as set forth in the gospel. Yeah, let me read it to you in Romans chapter 6, verse 1. Listen, we're covered by grace. We can go out and just live like hell. That's what they were teaching. Romans chapter 6, and we're going to have to quit. Romans chapter 6, verse 1, it says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? That's what they pushed. They said, well, hey, we're covered by grace. We can live however we feel like. Well, what better way to live than immoral? The Egyptians were immoral sexually. They had lots of sexual problems. Balaam, the teachings of Balaam, was sexual problems. All of that was immoral stuff. Moses said, the pleasures of sin. In other words, they were fun. They were pleasurable. Ah, but Moses also said the pleasures of sin for a season ain't worth it. He'd rather go back with the Hebrews than to stay with the Egyptians. They were compromising and allowing this stuff in their churches, in the church there at Pergamos, and they were compromising with these beliefs and teachings. And Jesus said, uh-uh. That's going to cease. And we're not going to finish this tonight. We'll probably finish it on Wednesday. That letter that was written to these guys, we are to take heed to those letters because, listen, we could compromise too. You want me to tell you how to fill this church full of people where we would have to build on within the next 6 months? Compromise. Start watering down the preaching. Quit talking about the blood. Quit singing about the blood. Quit talking about sin. Good grief. It's okay to not be okay. All of that kind of, you'll fill the place up. It's called compromise. What's it worth? Is it worth compromising and paying for it later? No, it's not. We need individuals. Let's stop for just a second before I end. That's talking to a church. How does that discuss individuals, though? Are we willing to compromise what we watch on TV? We willing to compromise what we drink, eat, smoke, whatever it is we do? We're willing to compromise because, hey, the rest of the world says it's fine. They look at you wrong. But that's where a lot of people are going. Listen, Jesus says, I'll fix you with the word of God. It's a sword. See, I can understand we're made in the image of God. Okay, I got that. Body, soul, and the spirit. There's where it loses me. I got the body, but all of a sudden the soul and spirit comes into play and I can't separate them, but God can. He said he's able to separate the marrow and the bone and the, man, when I read the word of God, and especially the book of James, tears me up. When I'm reading the book of James, I'm like, nah, what'd you put that in there for? It was going good. Sounded more like Sammy, not me. And then it all changed to me. You know? And it was like, well, that's a good one for Kevin, but nah, not the next verse. That messes up. But we got it. That's where it starts tearing you up in there. And you're like, wait a second. See, God can do that. We got to be careful what we're doing. We got to be very careful we don't compromise. Well, we want to be nice to everyone because we're Christians. There's a time, I mentioned the other day, to be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. But there's a time to flat lay the law down and say, no, it ain't going to happen. I'm sorry. You got to put the foot down and say, nope, that's where I draw the line. It has to be that way. And we have to do that as a church, but also as individuals. Let's stand. Sister Diane, if you'll come. We will have a verse of invitation.